Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam Hilchos Shechita Perek Aleph Halacha Chaf Hey. We continue discussing about checking the knife. I was able to find a interesting video about Shechita.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, the whole thing where they show you exactly what the knife looks like, how they check it, and the best part is a real shechita.
This is what animal?
It was sheep,
poultry, or
I saw a few of them. One was with a cow. One was with a sheep, I think. One with a cow.
A sheep.
So, and they show you exactly the two signs that are cut open. So, I'm trying to figure out, because we're going to need it before the next class, because it's going to discuss how you shech. So, anyway.
They just back
it's the same thing.
I understand.
I saw this when we were doing the Daf Yomi downtown. It was like they served lunch and they showed the video.
probably a better video than I'm going to have.
Our friends in Poland have banned shechita.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, that's coming up, so there'll be good use of the video machine soon. Chafe, Barak Asakin. Now remember we said you got to check the knife after the shechita as well to make sure nothing happened to the knife during the shechita of the animal beforehand. So what did Barak Asakin, what if you check the knife before you shechted it? V'shachat ba, you shechted it then v'lo batka after shechita, and you didn't check it after shechita, but something happened during the shechita different than before. V'shaver ba etzem, you broke a bone. You could tell that you broke a bone of the animal or something, or ate, or a tree or something. In other words, in the process from the first time you check the knife till you check it afterwards, there was, besides the shechita, there's something else you could connect the pgam that you're going to see in this knife coming up, the bone or the wood that you hit. Then you find a nick in it. So now, shechitas k'sheira. The shechitas k'sheira. Why is the shechita k'sheira? Now here's very interesting here. Shecheskas hasakin shenifkam abadavar hakoshesh yivirba. The assumption is that you have two options. Did the knife get nicked on the animal, or did it get nicked on the bone or that wood chip? The assumption is, if you'd have to bet, which would be more likely, it'd be more likely to get a pekima on the bone or the wood chip that happened after the shechita. Now, it's very interesting that even though we say there's a chazaka that the animal is treif. Remember we said there's a chazaka, is animal treif, and you gotta be sure that it was shechted properly. So if you don't check the knife at all, then we assume the animal's treif. But here, the point is, it's not dealing with the chazaka on the animals, it's dealing with the chazaka on the knife. And here, there's only two options for that blemish, that nick to get into the knife. Is it the shechita of the animal, or is that bone or that wood chip that happened after the shechita? And the knife starts off kosher. Started off kosher. Had a chazak, was a good knife before we started. Now the fact that it is damaged, we assume that it got damaged at the later moment on the thing that it's more likely to assume the damage created from the wood or the bone as opposed to the animal's shechita. So therefore, it's kosher. What if you were negligent, you didn't check the knife? Or the knife got lost before you could check it. Again, the shechita is kosher. It's because you did check it beforehand. And again, it's only a question on the knife. And this knife, we assumed, was kosher. Okay, was a kosher knife. So again, it's a chazaka on the knife as opposed to chazaka on the animal. And therefore, if there's a case where you got lost, then you don't have to, it is not treif.
So, did we say last time that if you didn't check the knife and then you checked another animal, that second animal would be treif, would not be kosher?
Only if you find that after you check the second animal, there's a nick in it.
Oh, right, so it's a bit of a gamble, that's right. So you could check 100 animals, and as long as you checked it after that 100th, and it was okay.
Then all 100 animals.
In theory, now we're saying if you check that 100 animal and you lose the knife afterwards, it would also be okay.
Yeah. So maybe one would just lose the knife rather than check.
Well, that would not be.
That's
would,
not a
wouldn't
high
keep
level.
Him as a shaykhah.
How long would you keep this guy on?
All right,
staff.
Not a good guy to have.
Well, when you have an option of that or writing off 100 animals.
Yeah, but you still got it.
But there's still a shem upstairs.
You wouldn't maintain him as a shaykhah.
Yeah.
Chavtes. Called Chavav, rather. Chol Tabach Shalobarach Asakin Shalosh Shalchab Alefin Chacham. Any butcher who does not check his knife that he's going to sheft with in front of a Chacham, because there is covet for the Chacham that you have to give, Vishachat Bola Atzma, and then he shefted himself. In other words, there's a Chacham he could have showed it to, and he didn't show it to him, he shefted himself. Then Bod Kinosa, we check the knife anyway, afterwards. Now, im nimsus yafa baduka, if we find out the knife was okay the whole time,
still.
Then all we do to him is menadano, so we excommunicate him.
That's all we do. That's it.
Because we don't excommunicate himself, he will assume that he's okay to do it the next time as well. The next time it could have a nick. Yishkol shef, then that'll be no good. On the other hand, if afterward he didn't show it to the rabbi, and now we find there was a nick in the animal after he shechted, Ma'avirno said, remove him from his job, and also Umanano said, we excommunicate him.
Whoa.
Umachrizin al kol boshashav shechev, make an announcement, all meat he ever shechted is straight, as far back as we can go.
That's not good, Paul.
On all the meat that he shechted. I don't know how far back we go, but
we pronounce that all the meat he slaughtered.
I don't know how far back, 20 years. I don't know, but it's not good. That's what I meant. The first case was all we do to him is we excommunicate him. Yeah.
You know, and here if we learn Gemara, we have, why is the extra words here? If in the first in the Reisha, if they ostracize him, he's losing his job anyway. I mean, he's never going to be shechting anything again.
Not necessarily. I mean, he can do tshuva quickly and get back to his post. But here, we would just remove him. Okay. Okay, let's continue. Chavzayin. Now that's only assuming there is a chacham there. If there isn't a chacham there, the problem is he's being mezalzel in the chacham. He's denigrating the chacham. If there's a chacham there to show it to, you should show it to the chacham. A lot of times, there are no chachams there. He's the chacham.
He's it.
Now there's other people, if I show you one of those videos, that some places there's only one person, his whole job is just to check the knife. He doesn't even shecht the knife. He doesn't shecht. Now, there's one guy who shechts, and one guy, all he does, and that's the chacham, as it were, is to check the knife before and to check the knife after. That is what you call checks and balances, pardon the pun, right? And that's how you ensure it. But technically, the shechet could be the one who checks the knife if there's no chacham there. Now, chav zayin, kamahu orech hasak and shechet, how long does the knife have to be? Answer is, kol shu. It can really be any small amount, provided that what? But who, as long as it is what? Shaliyah dover dak. It's not so thin and narrow. Shinoke v'ena shochet. That it pierces instead of shechts. Where it doesn't have to be really long. It'll be very short. And if you can do a cutting motion with it, as opposed to if it's like a pinpoint, then all you're ever going to do is prick it and make a hole in the lung. So it's got to be, obviously, a certain amount of length where there is a cutting motion. It doesn't have to be a lot. He doesn't give an amount, but
it has to be as wide as the tubes you're cutting.
Right, it's correct. As long as it's wide enough that you can, say for sure that you can do a cutting motion, as opposed to a puncturing motion, then it's okay. For example, it would not be good the top of a small blade. Ukiyetz were similar like that. When can you shecht? Answer is, anytime you want. It could be in the daytime or nighttime. But at night already, there's got to be a torch with him. Yes, he has to see what he's doing. Check the knife, all these things. What if he shechts at night? The shechit is still a kosher shechit, provided that you're able to check other things. Now, you can't eat that animal till the next day because we have to check the animal internally to make sure it's not a trefa. And that, well, truthfully, they could probably do that in the dark too. Those guys can do it all. You'll see it in the video that when they check.
When have you seen the video?
Maybe Sunday. I don't know.
Sunday. You'll see it up on here on the video. On
yeah, we'll see it up on the screen.
On Sunday.
I think we'll see where we're up to. But
popcorn.
If you want, Paul, I'll get you.
You want any popcorn when you're watching that?
Or maybe leftover chillin'.
Oh, that's even better.
Kishka.
Anyway,
the kishka.
So technically, it could be kosher even in the dark. Chavtas, Hashaycha b'yom kippur v'shabbos. What if a guy shechts on Yom Kippur or on Shabbos? Now, here's an interesting scenario. On the one hand, let's not confuse. There's two separate.
He's doing it by accident. This is by accident.
We don't know. We'll see. Anyway, there's two issues here. Let's say, for example, you cook something on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. All right. Then, if you did it, and if you did it on purpose, then you never can eat it. There's a problem with the food itself that gets cooked. If you didn't know about it, we prohibit to you till the time it takes to do it afterwards, to do all the cooking. But that's an issue where the cooking is a transgression of Shabbos or Yom Kippur, and the cooking is cooking the food. Here, you're dealing with a transgression of Shechita on Yom Kippur or Shabbos, but it's not an issue of cooking the food. So now the question is going to be, what's the status of the food when you're doing this on Yom Kippur or Shabbos? So if it's Bishogeg, if he was unintentional, he didn't know it was Shabbos or he didn't know it was Usher, Afa Bishulu Hayu Mazit. Because even though if he would have been Mazit, what would happen if he Mazit was warned?
Death penalty.
Hayu Mischai Benasho. He'd get a death penalty, on Shabbos at least, not on Yom Kippur. No. On Shabbos he gets Skila, on Yom Kippur you'd get Kares, right? Oh, Mischai Malkus, or he would get Malkus, because for Yom Kippur, Chayve Krisus gets Malkus, Al Yom HaKippurim, but still, Shchitoso Kshera. And you can eat it on Matzah Shabbos or Yom Kippur, but certainly for Shabbos you cannot eat it on that day.
What did you say you get Kares for?
Yom Kippur. If you do it on, if you Machalal Yom Kippur, you get Kares. You get kares, and since we don't give you kares,
right,
the rabbis give you lashes in those cases where you get kares. But certainly, intentionally, you're never allowed to shecht it. That's for sure you're not allowed to do. But he's saying if you did it b'shogeg, right, the shechita was still a good shechita. In other words, there's nothing wrong with that shechita, and you can eat it. You couldn't eat it on Shabbos, but you can eat it right after Yom Kippur, right after Shabbos. You don't even have to wait the time that it would take to shecht it, frankly, because it doesn't take that long. It only takes about a second. So what would it matter to make him wait that long? Now, it doesn't say what's the din if he did it b'mezid.
It doesn't say the status of the meat b'mezid.
Just says you're not allowed to shecht.
It says in the footnote that he would be considered an apostate who desecrates the Shabbos, and the shechita.
Oh, then the shechita wouldn't be a good shechita.
Because
he's an apostate. Good point. Very good. Okay, that's the end of the first parak. Paul, you feel confident to get the second parak in there? First, you have to make it smaller first. Yeah, make it regular size. Okay, just let. That's fine. That's fine. That's good. Now give it the tap on the top. The upper left-hand side. Okay, don't worry. It's not easy sometimes.
Just going back to that.
That's not going to help. That's not going to help. It's just at any place. Okay. If you want Mark to help you. He seems to have the magic touch, Mark.
I don't know.
The magic marker.
Is it in the black area or in the white area with the screen?
It's really... Usually the upper left hand side.
Where the screen is, Paul.
Sometimes it's just a...
Okay.
All right, Mark.
I don't know.
He's got the magic touch.
Here he goes. Look, here it comes.
Oh.
Whoa.
Number two.
Here, I'll let you.
Which one is it?
Chapter two. No, Macholas Asuras. Scroll it down.
Oh, you're the same way? Okay.
Scroll down more. Okay, now, Shechita 2.
There you go, Paul. Chew. There.
Okay. You said it something.
Okay, yeah, sometimes it's frustrating. It doesn't. Maybe it's the way your finger is constructed.
Yeah.
the content of moisture to the fingertips.
Do you have any apples at home? Yeah, any apples?
Okay, anyway, Perek Beis, halacha.
The video yesterday.
B'chol makom mutar lishchat. You may shecht an animal in any place in the world, chutz min azara, except for the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Shein shochtem ba'azara elo kachim is be'apulat. The only you can shecht in the courtyard is kachim, animals that have been sanctified to be brought on the Mizbeach. But mundane animals, Osir Lashach the Mazar is prohibited to shech them in the Azara, as we'll see shortly the pasuk that will tell us the basis for this. Doesn't matter if it's a regular animal, a beast, or a bird, they're all from different psukim in the Torah where we learn all three of them. Because this is what it says when you're eating meat for desire. See, there's meat that's animal sacrifices, and it's animal for your taiva. You want to have an animal sandwich. You want to have a steak, and you want to bring a korban. What does the pasuk say? It says exactly, ki yirchak mimcha hamokom asher yichar Hashem. If you are distant from the place that Hashem has chosen for you to bring the korban, it's being distant from the Beis HaMikdash. But then what do? V'savachta mibekorcha mitzoncha. Then you sheft from your sheep and your cattle. V'yachalta bisharecha, and you eat it in your courtyards. That's where you sheft it, and that's where you eat it. What, implying what? Halamari, you learn shein shocht, and v'sar taiva elochut samakam shepachar Hashem. You only eat meat for desire in a place that is outside of the place that Hashem has chosen. Okay, because it says when you're distant, if you're close, if you're living right in Yerushalayim, then you'd bring a korban shlamim already. Why shouldn't you share with Hashem if you're right there? You just bring a korban shlamim. But when you're distant, when you're not in the Azor, then you shecht regular animal meat outside of there. Now, in continuing this halacha, v'zeh shenishchat chutz l'makom, and this one who shechts outside the place, which we're learning from that pasuk, who shemutalach, you could eat it, b'chol hasharim, in all your gates. That's what you're eating for yourself. Avala shaykhid, chulin ba'azara, you're gonna shech mundane animals in the azara. Well, what happens if you do that? Well, also ha'basar tahar, that shchita is a good shchita, meaning to say, it's not an avela. That's number one. You can't say it's an avela, you can't say it wasn't a good shchita. It was a good shchita, but you weren't allowed to shecht it there. And what happens, you're not allowed to have any benefit from that meat, different than a combination of milk and meat. And similarly, what are you going to do with it then? So you bury it, there's nothing you can do with it. And even the ashes, usr is prohibited. Now, let's go even further now. What? No, you're not allowed to shecht it. You're not allowed to shecht it.
This is anything that's not already consecrated.
Not consecrated. You just want to make your own barbecue. You bring in your own barbecue right into the Beis HaMikdash. Just shecht it on your own to have a nice steak. It's a kosher shechita. However, it is usur b'hanon.
Is there consequences to you for doing that? Yeah. Apart from losing the animal?
Malkos, I'm sure.
We'll see. The point being, the Torah is saying you're supposed to shecht it outside, right? So it doesn't really carry any punishment biblical. But I think something's going to come up in a minute. Now, let's say afilu shecht l'rafu. Let's say he shechted it for medicinal purposes, olachilas goy, or to feed it for a goy, olachila klovim, or to give it to dogs, and all those situations. Never plan on eating it. Still, you can't. Shechting a regular animal that's not consecrated in the Azara creates a reality of usur b'hanon under all circumstances.
That's purpose anyway, because those are all benefits.
But we're saying, even if you never intended to shecht it for your own eating, that's the point. Now, but there's other ways to kill an animal without shechting it. What if avol hanocher b'azara? What if you chop its head off? Not a shechita, they chop its head off. V'ama'akar, you rip the signs of the shechita out of its place, but not with a proper shechita. So here, you've killed it, but you haven't shechted it. Or v'goyish yeshach, or non-Jew shechs, which is always not considered a good shechita. Or, let's say the guy shechted it, everything properly, but v'ashechet v'nim satrefa. You shouldn't find out that there was something wrong with the animal to begin with. It was not a healthy animal. So here, all these shechitas, it's not really considered a shechita.
There's more to the list.
It's a killing. Let's say you shecht any of these animals who are tamei in the azara, meaning to say they weren't really supposed to be in the azara. Hare elu kulim mutar bano. These are not kosher shechitas, but they're not even considered a shechita. That's why it's mutar bano. The point being here, if you do a 100% acceptable shechita per se in the azara, then the Torah said, the rabbis say, you can't have an offer from it, because we don't want you shechting things that are not kachim in the azara. But if anything you did resulted in it not being considered a shechita per se, because any shechita that's not meant to be a shechita, or it's just not a shechita, killing an animal by chopping itself is not the act of shechita. Shechting an animal properly, but it was a trefa, that's not an act of shechita. Shechita means you take an animal that is prohibited to eat only because it's lacking shechita. And then with the proper act of shechita, that would have made it permitted for you to eat. That's what the Torah says you cannot do in the azara. So therefore, if I'm taking an animal, it's a trefa. So my act is not a shechita, because it can't permit it anyway, because it was they had the physical problems. Or the other ways of killing it, so it doesn't give you that problem, and therefore it's mutter behano. Gimel.
Sorry, you said that the discovers it's a trefa after the fact.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It was a trefa before you shot. You just didn't know.
Right, but your intention was to
doesn't matter your intention.
Animal.
It's a shechita shein aruya. It's an animal that never was supposed to be shechted. You just didn't know it. When you find out after the fact, really, it was never considered an act of shechita.
You benefit from the fact that it ends up not being...
Yes, because you didn't do an act of shechita. The fact you did an act of shechita, that's when you get punished, but it's not considered an act of halachic shechita. Good? Gimel. Not just an animal and a beast alone, that we learn from the pasuk vizavachta, it says you shecht it outside Yerushalayim. Not just an animal to shecht in. We don't bring any mundane food into the Azara. What do we mean? Let's say a salami.
Sandwich.
Yeah, that's Raven Shechted. Shechted meat. Or Paris Bas. Or fruits. Or bread. You don't bring, it's like going to a ball game. They don't let you bring outside food in. Right? They don't let you bring it in. So that's the same thing. You know, you gotta give the only
what
business.
If the Cohen was celiac intolerant?
Anyway, you can't bring in anything. Forget about shechting it. You can't bring any of your own food into the basement.
You can't bring your own food.
Now, what if you
can't get kosher inside?
What if you transgressed and brought them? Mutarim b'achila. Interestingly, you're permitted to eat, because only chulin that was shechted in the azara does the Torah say you can't do it. But you weren't allowed to. But Vudvar Melan, these things we're talking about, Kulam Divir Kabbalah, they're all rabbinic. Anybody who shechts non-consecrated animals in the Azara, or let's say ate a ksayas of a piece of meat that was shechted in the Azara, Makinoisai Makas Martis, you get rabbinic lashes. Because really, the prohibition is what we call a lav abav michlal esek. It's a negative that's implied from a positive. Because the Torah said, you shall shecht your own meat, you shall shecht your own meat that's not a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's an essay. That's a positive commandment. You don't get makas for that. But the implication is the negative. So you don't get biblical lash for that, but you get rabbinic lashes, because it's no worse than transgressing a rabbinic thing that you get rabbinic lashes. So you get rabbinic lashes for transgressing this essay that implies a negative one.
That's when you shecht and eat.
Or just shecht it. So it ends up, he does get a punishment.
Anyway.
He gets a punishment anyway.
Okay. So
it's not only is it asur ba'noah, you're going to get punished.
Just bringing in other food.
It seems, you're not allowed to, but they don't seem to carry any punishment.
And you can eat the food.
Yeah.
So it seems like a very strange...
Well, it's just a rabbinic... Because the Torah really only says you can't shecht chulin in the Azara. Now, the rabbis took it much further and said, don't even bring any food into the Azara. But if they did, they didn't punish you so much. Dalet. Ha'omer behemoth u'shlamim... Here's an interesting scenario. Uvlad chulin. You have a pregnant cow. So you say like this. The cow, I can't say, this is what he said, two things in one time. The cow is going to be for a korban, but the baby not. Baby will remain chulin. The mother is kachim, and the baby is chulin. Now you get an interesting scenario. Where can you shek this animal?
Only in the
Zara. That's Zara, because the mother's consecrated. But wait a minute. But that baby is chulin.
So you gotta wait for her to deliver.
Well, no, what's the law? What's the law when you shecht a mother and there's a baby inside? It's a ben
pekuah.
What do we say?
It doesn't
need shechting anymore. Yeah. It doesn't need. Whatever's inside is kosher to eat.
Yeah.
So now you have an interesting scenario, a combination of two things. You shechted the mother properly in the Azara, as you had no other choice but to shecht the mother in the Azara. But the baby, theoretically, should not be shechted in the Azara.
It doesn't need shechted.
But it wasn't shechted. So this is the halacha. Im nishkata ba'azara, if you shechted this mother in the Azara, v'loda mutter b'achila, you can eat the baby, even though it's chulin, and even though sort of it got shechted, as it were, its mother got shechted for her, because the answer is, because there is no other choice. Because you can't shech the mother outside the Azara, because the mother has to be shechted in the Azara. Right? And therefore the pasuk, right, only when you're far away, then you can do it. So therefore, since you have no other option, we permit the baby to be eaten. You don't shecht directly over a river or a sea, and the blood goes right in there. Why? Rabbinically, Shamayomro Oved Maim, who said, it looks like he's an idol worshiper and he worships the water. Vinir Kamakri Maim, looks like he brought a korban for the water, because he's right on it. You also don't shecht into a utensil that's full or has an appreciable amount of water in the utensil, because there's a reflection of the shoichet in the water. Shema Yomer, people will say, Letzurish Terba Maim Shechet, he shechted for the image of the person shechted himself. He deified himself and offered an offering to himself. You don't shecht into any utensils. Not into a hole in the ground. That's also the way of idol worshippers who do that as well. But what if you did? That's only rabbinically we're telling you not to. If you did do that, really nothing was wrong. And shchitas akshera, it's a kosher shchita you could eat from the animal. We only said this lechatchila. One more halacha vav. Shoyachatin lichli mayim achurim, but you can't shecht the utensil that's got dirty water in it. Why? Sheinatzur and erespon, because you don't see reflection in it. No one will think you're shechting into your own reflection. You can also shecht outside of the hole, and then if afterwards vadam shows your legume and the blood rolls by itself into the hole, that's okay because it won't look like you shechted for the adultery into the hole. Ubashuk, but if this is done in a marketplace, then lo yeyasa ken, you're not allowed to do this because that seemed to be one of the goyish practices to shecht in a marketplace. And shema yechake es aminim, they think he's mimicking the non-Jews, and that's not allowed. Now, what if im shechet laguma bashuk? What if you shechted into one of these holes into the marketplace? Aser lechel mishitrasa, you can't eat from that shechita ad shivta achrav until we check out this guy, because this is already acts of heresy. And shemamin, he could be a heretic, and just like you said before, if a heretic shechts, it's no good. So therefore we'd have to check such a guy out to see he's not a heretic. Umutar lishchot al dovana, so you may shecht on the, against the wall of the boat. The water drips from the wall of the boat into the water. Because why? Because it doesn't look like you're doing it directly into the water. You're doing it onto the side of the boat. Similarly, on the back of utensils, not into the hollow of the utensils, because there you're just using utensils as support, but you're not going into the utensil. That was the idolatrous purpose in the utensil, but not on top of it.
If you're on a festival cruise, you can do it.
Yeah.
Next week,
we're going to get to how do you shecht it? And that's the issue over there. So that's why one picture will work worth hundreds of words.
So.